I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnneHall.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. And it seems lately we have been talking a lot about the Fourth Amendment, which just proves that history always repeats. The Fourth Amendment, although not called the Fourth Amendment, back in our Founders' Day, was a huge issue for them as well. Writs of assistance, warrantless searches. We didn't invent the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects from unreasonable searches and seizures. We inherited that. Our framers had that guaranteed protection of their liberty from over 500 years of liberty charters. So when George III began breaking down doors and searching and seizing without warrants, our framers didn't have to figure out what was going on. They knew, thanks to a brilliant, brave patriot by the name of James Otis Jr. James Otis Jr., by the way, is why we are independent from Great Britain today. That history belongs to one man. Even our framers gave him the credit for it, calling him the midwife of liberty. James Otis Jr., an attorney who had received the highest post that any attorney could receive, was now in charge of enforcing warrantless searches on the colonists. James Otis Jr. had been raised a patriot, however, and started feeling conflicted by the things that the government wanted him to do. He couldn't engage in these warrantless searches without having a conflict of his conscience. He had been taught about liberty from his father, also an attorney. He had been taught about the right of the people to not be engaged in or not be submitted to warrantless searches. You see, James Otis Jr. decided one day that he could no longer do the job that the government had hired him to do. He could not engage in these warrantless searches of innocent people. He said, "There is no way in good conscience I can do this." He called these warrantless searches the worst instruments of arbitrary power, the most destructive of English liberty ever found in an English law book. The most destructive. The worst. Arbitrary power. And yet, James Otis Jr. had been paid to do this. This was his job, his commission by the king. He could have, should have possibly just followed the orders of the king. He would not have been in trouble for following orders, now would he? Just doing his job? But Otis said no. Who could do this job? In conscience. Who could do this job knowing that these people have done nothing wrong? Who could do this job? So James Otis Jr. resigned his post and said, "No, I cannot do this job." James Otis Jr. not only resigned his post, but went about educating the people on what the government was actually doing. He became a whistleblower. We cannot allow this to happen. Not on our watch. James Otis Jr. would eventually pick up a legal case against the British government on these warrantless searches and seizures. This would be February of 1761. Did you catch that date? 1761. There was no committees of correspondence. There were no Sons of Liberty. There was no liberty movement at all in February of 1761. Just James Otis Jr. standing alone in the name of liberty, in the name of conscience. James Otis Jr. was outcast by his community. He was called just about every bad name in the book. He was not called a good Christian man. But James Otis Jr. continued in his education of the people, continued in his fight. The legal community told him, if you don't shut up, James, you will never practice law in the colonies again, anywhere in the kingdom. James Otis Jr. said, I have to keep going. They said, James, what are you doing? Why are you so upset about these searches? We're only searching people that are breaking the law. We're only searching people to enforce the law. What are you afraid of? Are you doing something wrong, James? Do you have something to hide? What is your problem with this? Only people who have something to hide would have something to fear. What is your problem? Why are you afraid? Doing something wrong? Got something to hide? See, James Otis Jr. believed he had nothing to hide, but everything to preserve. He said, I can sincerely declare that I cheerfully submit myself to every odious name for conscience' sake, and from my soul I despise all those whose guilt, malice, or folly has made them my foe. So it doesn't matter why you support this kind of tyranny, Otis was saying. Maybe you're guilty of violating people's liberties. Maybe you're those who are enforcing those warrantless searches. Maybe you're one of those who is gaining from those. Maybe you benefit from striking fear into the hearts of people. Or perhaps you just don't understand why this is wrong. And because of your ignorance, you think I'm doing something wrong. He says, I accept that for my conscience' sake. And unfortunately, from my soul, I have learned to despise you. You have made yourself my foe. You see, those who do not respect liberty, those who do not understand liberty to its destruction, James Otis Jr., is an enemy to those who love liberty. That's why I'm always trying to show you that it really doesn't matter whether your politician is wicked and evil destroying liberty or just simply ignorant destroying liberty. Because at the end of the day, it makes no difference. Liberty is still destroyed through guilt, malice, or folly. And we should be enemies with people who are destroying our liberty. Those are strong words, right? Enemies, despise, soul. And that's how strongly we should feel about these things. And James Otis Jr. said, let consequences be what they will. I am determined to proceed. And in February of 1761, James Otis Jr. took up a legal case against the British government, against these warrantless searches that would change the world. February of 1761, James Otis Jr. would not win this case. As a matter of fact, the court wouldn't even give him the courtesy of a ruling. We'll take it under advisement, Mr. Otis, they said, which kept the law intact. James Otis Jr. has been charged with treason. He can be shot on sight, and the court doesn't even do anything about a ruling. They change nothing. So James Otis Jr. has sacrificed his reputation and possibly even his life and his fortune. And the laws are still intact, and the searches still continue. So what did he actually do? I'll tell you what he did. You know, history is always our greatest teacher in hindsight, right? Can you imagine how defeated James Otis Jr. may have felt? if he hadn't realized that he had just changed the world. John Adams would write about that day that James Otis Jr. changed the world, that day in the courtroom. He would write about it 40 years later. He said, "But Otis was a flame of fire. With a promptitude of classical allusions, a depth of research, a rapid summary of historical events and dates, a profusion of legal authorities, a prophetic glare of his eyes into the future, and a rapid torrent of impetuous eloquence, he hurried away all before him." John Adams said, "American independence was then and there born. The seeds of patriots and heroes to defend the vigorous youth were then and there sown. Every man of an immense crowded audience appeared to me to go away, as I did, ready to take up arms against these writs of assistance." Then and there, Adams said, was the first scene of the first act of opposition to the arbitrary claims of Great Britain. Then and there, the child of independence was born. Adams would conclude his thought by saying, and in 15 years, namely in 1776, that child grew up to manhood and declared himself free. Our founders would call James Otis Jr. the midwife to liberty, because on February of 1761, James Otis Jr. stood pretty much alone and birthed the spirit of liberty in the hearts of the men who would become our liberty. You see, in that packed out audience that John Adams talked about was not only John Adams, but Dr. James Warren and Samuel Adams and the men who would become our liberty. All because of warrantless searches. Our founders did not invent the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects from unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but based upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. They didn't invent that, they inherited that. But through our ignorance, we have become the enemy of liberty, because we no longer know the value of it. We no longer know the limits of government, and we have these writs of assistance being birthed again today. Time to rise and shine.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
The right of the people, not the privilege of the people, not the security of the people, not the government. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. The right of the people to be secure. Their right. Not a privilege bestowed upon them by the government, not an arbitrary claim that we make. It is a right that belongs to us because God said so. A right that belongs to us because we breathe. A right inherently in the possession of men to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. Not all searches and seizures, just unreasonable ones. But what is a reasonable search and seizure? A reasonable search and seizure is one that ensures that there is a warrant, not just any warrant, a proper warrant. A proper warrant that is based upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, basically meaning it is subject to due process review. It's not just simply the arbitrary claims of a person, but a common law court judge who is reviewing the necessity of this warrant, reviewing the qualifications of this warrant, subject to challenge by the common man. Not only simply a warrant based on a probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, but particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. In order to have a reasonable search and seizure, all five things have to be there. A warrant, probable cause, oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched, and the persons or things to be seized. Particularity is one of these qualifications. But there's an insidious thing going on. An insidious thing called John Doe warrants. A John Doe warrant is a warrant for the arrest of a person whose name is unknown. Alarm should be going off in your head right now. A name that's unknown? How do you particularly describe the person to be seized if you do not know their name? The law says that John Doe can be arrested simply by sight, not by name. Perhaps John Doe can also be used when crime scene evidence yields a DNA profile, because we know they're so reliable, when no one knows who they are. Instead of the suspect's name, the warrant will be filed as John Doe. This type of warrant, the law says, is permitted in a few states. How is that possible? Oh, because we have fallen under the trap that, oh, the Bill of Rights doesn't apply to the states. Because, after all, it's a limitation on the federal government. No, it's not. The limited federal government was already designed in the most limited and defined way in the original portion of the Constitution, in the main delegation of authority through the Constitution. We didn't need the Bill of Rights to further limit the federal government. The reason we have the Bill of Rights is to remind the people of their inalienable rights so that they will limit the government when the government breaks out of its box. And if these are inalienable rights, as our framers believe them to be, as we should know them to be, then they should be rights that are ours regardless of the government's name. Regardless of whether that government calls it state, county, local, or homeowners association. These are your rights. These are your rights because you breathe. Not bestowed upon you by any government, and not to be taken by any government. These John Doe warrants are insidious. They are the worst instruments of arbitrary power, the most destructive of liberty, and our framers went to war over that. And now we are coming to an awareness of these things because of some things that are happening in Wisconsin, these John Doe warrants issued by a corrupt politicians, a corrupt prosecutor, a corrupt judge, and corrupt, immoral police officers. Yes, your police officers can be corrupt and immoral. SWAT teams breaking down people's doors based on these John Doe warrants, and now it's coming to our attention that it's because of political donations. This is political retaliation. And we're supposed to understand this to be outrageous and arbitrary. But we should also understand that it's nothing new. Some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, cause she filled me with love and the strength to leave. She said, let it burn, let it burn. I'm gonna burn something down if you get in my way.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
These John Doe warrants, I heard Rush talk about them yesterday. We've been talking about them quite some time on this show. There have been lots of people who have been trying to wake up the populace on these warrantless searches. It's always curious to me as to what brings the mainstream media into the realm of awakening and understanding. And in this case, it's because some Republican donors were having warrantless searches conducted upon their homes. a corrupt politician, a corrupt judge, and corrupt police officers. You know what I think I find probably even more most offensive by all of these things is the fact that there's testimony from officers about this. This is no mystery. This is no exaggeration. This is no hyperbole. This is really what is happening. These people are being persecuted by the law based on their political donations. And police officers saying they were forced to participate in these midnight raids on innocent people who had done nothing wrong other than support Scott Walker politically. Police officers. See, this is what is disturbing to me. Police officers who say they were forced to participate on midnight raids of innocent people. How did these midnight raids go? Well, how about the home of people who, midnight, seriously, midnight, we have crazy things going on, showing up at the doors with battering rams. Cindy Archer, the lead architect of Wisconsin's Act 10, Wisconsin's budget repair bill, was jolted awake by yelling, loud pounding at the door, her dogs frantically barking, her entire house, the windows and walls were shaking. She looked outside to see a dozen police officers yelling to open the door. They were carrying a battering ram. She wasn't dressed, but she started to run towards the door, her body in full view of the police. Some yelled at her to grab some clothes. Others yelled for her to open the door. Can you imagine? She said, I was so afraid. I did not know what to do. The dogs were frantic. She says, I begged, please, please don't shoot my dogs. Please don't shoot my dogs. She couldn't get her dogs to start barking, and she couldn't get them outside quick enough. She saw guns. She saw dogs barking. She said, I was scared, and I knew this was a bad mix. She was able to get dressed. She was being raided by her own community. The very people who were supposed to be keeping her safe, the very people who pledged an oath to the liberty of their people. And the very sick and sad thing is, these police officers think that they were justified in their actions because they were following orders. That is repulsive. That should make us cry. That should make us weep. That should make them ashamed. Do you know that argument didn't hold up in Nuremberg? So why will it hold up in Wisconsin? What is the matter when our officers do not understand that they have a higher moral obligation than to follow orders when they know they're wrong? They said, After cop, we were forced to do this on innocent people. We knew they were innocent. Why would they do something like that? Why? Ignorance. Folly. Guilt. Malice. Who knows? Who cares? But you see, this is not the beginning of this. This is probably just the beginning of some people being aware of this. We have covered story after story after story. Flashbangs, people's homes being invaded without warrants. Wrong addresses. Babies being burned by flashbangs because of these crazy, crazy searches and seizures that violate every principle of liberty. And we wonder what is going on. We have so much going on in front of us because we simply do not understand what liberty is and do not understand its importance. We need to do some real research and find out what is going on. Did you know that it's not just the Fourth Amendment that's being violated? We have the Third Amendment violated as well. We've been fighting these things for a while. Do you remember the story that we did on Sheriff Nicholas Finch? Sheriff Nicholas Finch, who was who is sheriff in Liberty County, Florida, who said, "We will not enforce unconstitutional gun laws in our county. It will not happen here." And a corrupt politician, along with a corrupt prosecutor and a corrupt judge, invented a charge against this man, arresting him, removed the governor, a corrupt governor in the state of Florida, removing this sheriff from office, prosecuting him for a crime he didn't commit. The man lost his benefits he has a special needs child that needed insurance, and these corrupt politicians denied that little girl that for their corrupt needs. These things are going on. These things are going on with alarming frequency. The Third Amendment supposedly guards against quartering of soldiers in the private homes of the citizens. However, the federal district courts don't believe that that should apply on the local level. A Henderson, Nevada family suffered from these violations. Anthony Mitchell and his parents, Michael and Linda Mitchell, described this incident in court papers. They say, on the morning of July 10th, 2011, do you catch that date? That was 4 years ago. Officers from the Henderson Police Department responded to a domestic violence call at a neighbor's residence. Police told Mitchell that they needed to occupy his home in order to gain a tactical advantage against the occupant of the neighboring home. Anthony Mitchell told the officers that he did not want to become involved and that he did not want the police to enter his residence. The cops went to Mitchell's house anyway, proceeded to bang forcibly on the door while yelling at Mitchell to open up, and smashed in the door with a metal battering ram. This man has done nothing. There is no warrant to enter his home. Once inside, the police pepper sprayed Anthony and his dog, screamed conflicting orders, and it ultimately arrested him. He was released from jail the next day. No warrant, no probable cause, no reason to do this other than for a tactical advantage. Mitchell and his parents filed suit, claiming Third and Fourth Amendment violations, that they were outfitted and acting like members of a military and entered the home against their wishes. And the judge dismissed the claim. Here's the judge's reasoning. Various officers entered into and occupied Linda and Mitchell's and Michael's home for an unspecified amount of time, seemingly 9 hours. 9 stinking hours! But certainly for less than 24. Oh, see, because quartering of your soldiers only means that they're spending the night in your house, apparently. The judge says, the relevant questions are thus whether municipal police should be considered soldiers and whether the time they spent in the house could be considered quartering. To both questions, the answer must be no, he says, and I hold that a municipal police officer is not a soldier for the purposes of the Third Amendment. Doesn't that just make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside? Do you know why this happens? Because we don't teach the Constitution in law school. We don't teach that the Bill of Rights was a reminder to the people of the limitations of government against their inalienable rights, against their rights that are inherently theirs. We don't teach that it was a protection, a reminder of the people to protect themselves from tyrannical government, regardless of the name of that government. Those rights are yours. And now, because we are fundamentally ignorant, our paramilitary forces Right, because they are now these days. Our law enforcement are paramilitary. Why? Because they carry federal badges and they're equipped by the federal government. And they look like they're engaging in raids in Baghdad when they show up in our front doors. Oh, but we don't call them soldiers. They look like soldiers, they act like soldiers, they walk like soldiers, they talk like soldiers, they sound like soldiers, they drive like soldiers. But we can't call them that. Well, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck and is funded and outfitted like a duck, then I'm saying we need to start calling things the way they are. You cannot have the benefits of the federal government and have the protection of local privilege. That is not how it works. And unless some police officers wake up and stop following wicked and evil orders, the reputation of our police officers will be further diminished, and the people of our communities will learn to hate them and distrust them. Why? Because a few men like to look like soldiers and have the protection of local government. Because a few men want to follow orders that are arbitrary and wicked, and don't have the moral fortitude to stand up and say, no, I will not comply because this is wrong. It is time, America, for us to draw the line. The weapon of my choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you want, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
This is not an anti-cop show. This is not a cop bashing show. This is a show out of love and respect, begging law enforcement officers to stand up and do what's right. Begging them to be the people they want us to believe they are. Not arbitrary, wicked officers simply following the law. They said that in the concentration camps. Is this where we're headed? Officers who will do this. Because they've been ordered to do this, what will be their limitations? What are you going to do when the cops show up at your door at 3 a.m. and want to set up surveillance equipment in your living room, helping yourselves to your food? Or worse. All under the auspices of tactical advantage. I want you to know something. This arbitrary power, human nature kicks in, you know. This arbitrary power is not going unnoticed. And men who like arbitrary power are wicked in nature, and they will gravitate to these jobs now. We will lose the population of our law enforcement officers who actually have some moral conviction. They will be replaced by people who like arbitrary power. And arbitrary power in the hands of arbitrary men is wicked, and they will not be limited in any way. Our framers knew this. These writs of assistance were not only allowing these arbitrary officers in 1776 to raid our homes. They were raiding our wives and our daughters. Because arbitrary power in the hands of wicked men has no limit at all. And what will we do if that history repeats itself? The police officer's oath that is used by the International Association of Police Chiefs says, "On my honor, I will never betray my badge, my integrity, my character of the public trust. I will always have the courage to hold myself and others accountable for our actions. I will always uphold the Constitution, my community, and the agency I serve. Really? Think about the job that you're doing out there, officers. Is that what you're doing with these no-knock raids? Or that's what you're doing with these John Doe warrants? Is that what you're doing? Hey, somebody needs to get into Wisconsin and start teaching the Wisconsin legislators about the wicked nature of these laws and the other states that are engaging in these John Doe warrants. That judge needs to be disbarred. That prosecutor needs to be thrown in jail. And the people's liberty needs to be restored. And every officer who participated in these warrants needs to be dismissed from their duties as a violation of their oath and proof that they do not have the moral character to be placed with the responsibility that they have. They do not have the moral character to entitle them to the power that they wield. They have become wolves, pack animals, that simply go along with the pack. And law enforcement, if you're listening to this and it offends you, you ought to be offended. You ought to be ashamed. Because we need some good officers to stand up and call this stuff out as it is. Honor your oath. Honor your neighbor. Christian officers out there, who are you? Is this love? Is this loving your neighbor when you're raiding innocent people and destroying people's lives? These people will never get over this. Can you imagine? It is time for the moral center of America to stand up. It is time for righteous resistance of this evil. It is time for us to step up and say no more. We will not comply with this. We need officers that will say we will not enforce this. It is time for us to do this for our children's sake, because the future that we are looking at is not a future we want for our children. It is a repeat of history, and it is tyranny. And it is time for us to say no more. Thank you, Rush, for awakening the mainstream media. But it's time for us to step up and step out.